Seems like I should run away, 'cause life is hitting me in the face. Hey, hey, but I'm here, and I'll never surrender to fear. Retreat and be defeated, no way, 'cause I can't, I can't.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And this is for the recording date of Sunday, December the 8th, 2013. And so we have our beautiful sister, mother, Agnes Mariam. I'm not saying her name absolutely correctly. She was born in Lebanon, if I have my information correct. She lives in Syria, a part of the Catholic Christian community in Syria, affiliated with the Catholic Church, working as a nun, working as a woman, on behalf of the waters of noon, and taking that vow of chastity and purity, and working on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. She is touring the world, touring North America and Canada and parts of Europe, teaching the truth of what is going on in Syria, that there have been lies. See, these wicked ruling class, they show you the book, but they make it like scattered papers, and they conceal much. Remember those atrocities blamed on Assad? Mother Agnes Mariam was the first to come out and say that these children that were shown on TV were Christian children killed and kidnapped and killed by Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, these who have been sent into Syria by the royal family of Saudi Arabia, who are doing the bidding of the House of Rothschild and the Oppenheimers, working with CIA, working with MI5, working with Mossad. And Mother Agnes said that these children were killed by these forces, and that the atrocity of that killing was falsely blamed on Assad. These wicked forces, these people who have given their spirit, soul, energy to wickedness, are concealing much. But Mother Agnes Mariam is like a tomb. She is calling forth, cook the darkness.
and calling forth Kaket, the light, so that we can see what was done in the darkness and bring it into the light. She is calling forth Amun and calling forth Amonet, because that which was hidden has now been revealed. Let's move to some Bible scripture and continue to teach this truth. We're moving towards a couple of Sunday school lessons that have to do with the construct of the African Hebrew temple. See, we are going to have to construct ourselves as the living and breathing temple of the Most High. As you get into chapters 34 all the way to 40, we see that the Most High is teaching the African Hebrew Israelite nation about the universe, about the truth, about the wicked ruling class and ruling families, and about our role as revolutionaries standing up on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. The Almighty is teaching us about how the wicked ruling class and families, their system will not last forever. Then you see that the Moses and the African Hebrews are bringing their talents together, bringing their attributes, and they are gathering the various instruments and various metals and various things that will be needed to construct the African Hebrew temple that is constructed, will be constructed based on science, based on the African teaching of science. Let's see if I can go through a few lessons. Chapter 34 of Exodus, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. You see, we have the scripture twisted. We don't understand scripture because the religious teachers are teaching doctrine that has been approved by the wicked ruling class and ruling families, who present the scripture as scattered papers, trying to scatter the truth and make the truth of null and void and conceal and hide much. So we have great misunderstanding. This verse further says, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third generation. We thought this was applicable to all, but what this scripture is saying, that you and me, as poor working class people who have been maneuvered into supporting this system of death, hell, and destruction, we have been made slaves. We have been made people who would put on the uniform, whether it's the American military uniform or whether it is the uniform of Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, or whether it's the uniform of the Israeli military, or whether it is the uniform of the British military, all of these uniforms, whether it is the uniform of the drug cartels of Central and South America and Mexico, we have been maneuvered into participating in terrible iniquities that do nothing but destroy our own sisters and brothers of the human family, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So the Most High is saying, we are receiving mercy. We are receiving that power in the universe that changes our condition, that turns us to the favor of the Most High that turns us into experiencing life and supporting life and becoming life rather than death, hell, and destruction. Because those in power, they don't want us to live. So they create laws that kill us and destroy us. And they justify it by saying that we are genetically inferior, or we don't have education, or we are from the low class, or we are poor, or whatever excuse they use in order to justify our destruction. And so we are in need of mercy. We are in need of forgiveness, because we have oftentimes been willing to participate in this system that is destructive. So we need the Most High to forgive us for hating our own sisters and brothers, for hating Christians, or hating Muslims, or hating Jews, or hating Hebrews, or hating black, brown, red, yellow, and white. But this forgiveness, it says, will by no means clear the guilty. Who is the guilty? This is not talking about the poor working class masses of the people. You have to go into the definitions of the word. Let's see, the word clear is naka, to be empty, to be clear, to be pure, to be innocent. So there is a people that are guilty that will not escape the judgment, that will not escape the punishment. We're not talking, see, the poor working class masses of the people, the oppressed, we have been given the forgiveness. But who is this guilty? The word guilty is 6485 Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. It is pakad, and it means the number, the reckon, punish, to pay attention to observe, to seek in vain, to need, to miss. So these ones are guilty. These ones have missed the mark. They have visited upon themselves punishment. And it also means overseer. Where's that? Yeah, overseer. Overseer. Who are the overseers? Who are, it says, entrusted. See, the overseers of the system, those who have been entrusted with being the leaders in the system. It, in the synonyms, you see governor, the word governor. You see officers. You see ruler. This is to the rulers of this wicked system who have created death, hell, and destruction. They will not escape because they continue to perpetrate death, hell, and destruction. If we don't go into the definitions of the words, we will never know. So they have visited upon their heads and upon their children and their children's children all of this death and hell and destruction. Let me see. Verse 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land in which thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. So, inhabitants. This word inhabitants does not mean everybody and all the people in the land. The African Hebrew Israelite nation were to go down into the territory that we now know as Israel-Palestine. The word inhabitants means those who sit in power, those who sit on the throne. See, we're talking about the ruling class and the ruling families, those who have created a system of death, hell, and destruction. There's another word, stranger, in the African Hebrew language that is another African Hebrew word that has to do with the immigrants and the refugees, those disinherited, disenfranchised. This word here that is called stranger in the English is not that word. This word, I'm talking about inhabitants. This word inhabitants does not mean all and everybody. This word inhabitants means those rulers. We're talking about the rulers, the ruling class, and the ruling families. So don't make a covenant with the ruling class oppressor. Verse 13, but ye shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. We're talking about the instruments that are used to create a system, an economic system that is destructive to the human being, destructive to the human family. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. But the word God here is Elohim, gods and goddesses. And the word other has to do with those who delay justice, deny justice, defer justice, defer righteousness. And these, the word here is El, 410. And this word has to do with judges and rulers and the judicial system. Do not follow after a wicked judicial system, a wicked system that is constructed by the demonic influence. For the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahuwah is Elohim. Excuse me. Yahweh is existing. So we are to follow after the principles of existing and the living one. Living is masculine and feminine in the African Hebrew language. The Lord, whose name is jealous, Kana. To be jealous. So we are not to follow after the demonic influences, but follow after truth and justice and righteousness. For Yahweh is a jealous God. And the word God here is 410 El. That word that was used by the African Canaanites to signify the Most High and really signify a whole system of truth, justice, and righteousness, because you're getting into words that have to do with a judicial system. But this judicial system is righteousness and truth. And verse 16, don't make your daughters and your sons go whoring after other gods. Don't cause your children, our children, to learn from demonic influence. To learn from the wicked ruling class and ruling families that have created a system of death, hell, and destruction. Verse 17, thou shalt make no molten gods. The word molten, let me see now. This is such wonderful teaching. Maseka has to do with pouring, libation. Molten metal, to cast an image. So we're talking about how you take the resources out of the earth and make gold and make silver. When the wicked ruling class do this, they are making a wicked system, a wicked economic system, a wicked system that is destructive. We are going to take the resources out of the earth and use the resources for righteousness. Verse 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. The feast of weeks, this celebration of freedom, this recognition of our history as oppressed people, our history as slaves, our history as indentured servants, our history as being people who were used and abused by the system. So we have these feasts and these festivals and we dance. Research the definitions of these words for yourself. We dance in a circle. We do the ring shout. We retrace the movement of the sun in the counterclockwise position to understand the 12 signs of the zodiac and understand the science of characteristics and attributes of the universe that are within ourselves. The circle, the limit of the circle is feminine. Inside the circle is masculine. And I'm reminded again of the waters of noon that are masculine, but the borders of the heavens are feminine. So we are understanding even deeper the science of the universe, the science of life, the science of the seed of life, germ of life called sperm that gives life, that gives energy, that gives that eternal life force. Now let me see if I can find something in chapter 35. The word shown in chapter 35 of the book of Exodus. Let me just go ahead and say it from my memory. You have to do the research for yourself. When Moses goes into the mountain to receive further instruction from the Most High, his face shone like light. And the word shone in the African Hebrew language is karan. Listen to that word, sisters and brothers. Karan. 715. Maybe I can find it. Maybe I can find it. Oh, man. Let me see if I can find that word, sisters and brothers. I'm hitting the word shown. Exodus. Let me see. Chapter 34, verse 35. His face shone. And the word shone, 7160, karan, to shine, to send out rays, to display or grow horns. You see, the rays of the sun are seen as horns. The rays of the sun, we're getting into the science. And let me see, 7159. I'm in 7160. 7159 is karam, to spread or lay over something, to spread over. But I want to get to 7161, which is keren. And this word is feminine. And this word is horn and strength, a flask for oil, a horn like an instrument. So we see we have words that have to do with the oil and the anointing. We have words that have to do with the instrument. Remember, the African Hebrew Israelite nation blew the horn. Blew the horn, which is the ram's horn for resurrection. And we see that the word has to do with horns that were put on the altar. These horns represent rays of light. And this word is feminine, because the rays of the light from the sun are seen as feminine, and the sun is seen as masculine and feminine, working in the universe to bring the synthesis of light to use that light to bring life, and water, masculine, in the earth, and the earth, feminine, and life coming forth. This is the science of the universe, sisters and brothers. But also, do not miss that word shown is Quran, and it sounds in my ear like Quran, because the African Hebrew language is the mother and father language of the African Arabic language. Quran, the word that we use to describe the Muslim holy book, is a reflection of the sun, reflection of the rays and light that comes from the sun that comes to us to give us light and life and wisdom and understanding. Now, the African Hebrew Israelite nation were going about bringing in various instruments and metals. See, they're constructing a nation that will be built on the science of the universe. And they are constructing the temple. By the time you get to chapter 35 and 36 and 37, 38, 39, and 40, we see the construction of the African Hebrew Israelite temple. And we see that they are gathering together gold and silver and brass. And I found something interesting when I researched the word brass. 5178, Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. This word is masculine. So we see the divine masculine at work here. Copper, bronze, copper alloy, copper ore, fetters of copper, that which ties, copper, also seen as lust and harlotry. So here's what we are looking at. See, brass and copper is a base metal. So it can mean lust and harlotry. So when you get to silver and gold, gold is a high metal, precious metal. What we are looking at is the African science of alchemy. Alchemy is an African Arabic word. Al, alchemy. The word al signifies all that have to do with something, if I have that understanding correct. And the root word of alchemy is chem. And remember that Egypt was known by the indigenous as Kemet. Chem means black. Whether you spell it K-H-E-M or C-H-E-M, chem is black. Kemeta, African land or land of the black people. Kemetnu means the people who are dark-skinned and black-faced. So alchemy is the science of black African people that has to do with raising base metal into precious metal by adding more hydrogen, by adding more protons, neutrons, and electrons. Gold is the 79th metal on the table of metal. And so 79, that number means that there are 79 hydrogens. So how many metals are in between silver and gold? How many metals are in between brass and gold? So whatever that number is, you are adding more hydrogens to the base and low metal to raise that metal into precious gold. And so we are like the brass. We've been made low. We have been ruled by our lusts, our passions, our appetites, our stomach, our desires. And so we have to control those passions and desires and begin to use the knowledge and wisdom of the Most High to raise ourselves up from being ruled by our lower selves and move up into silver spiritually and then move up into gold spiritually so we may be precious gold. Let's take this next break and I will see you on the other side of the break.